now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to your LGBT plus magazine show.
Yes, welcome to Shout Out.
Magazine show, yes. Sorry. I'm Andy Shilton and she's Natalie. And today on the show, Bristol Pride.
Darren will be in live to talk about all that's going on this year.
No, he won't, because it's Freddie that turned up. But
okay,
yeah,
Freddie will be in live.
A news extra.
And Terry will be digging deeper in a topic of your choice.
All today right here on Shout Out. It's easy. One's blue, one's blonde.
I know, but anyway, it's nice. Freddie seems to sort of, you know, hide from the limelight, and Darren gets it all. So, you know, Freddie's good.
Yeah, it's one of Freddie's big events this weekend as well. We'll talk to him about it in a bit, but yeah. He does the dog show, doesn't he?
Woof, woof. Is it rough?
Well, you can ask him later when he's in this.
That's Tara in the background, by the way.
Sorry, hello, Tara.
Hello.
It's not me panting.
Well, what's quite interesting is she's taking the mickey, say, rough and like, if you can see what she's done with her hair by putting her headphones on. She,
oh, dear, Tara.
It looks like you got wings or fluffy ears or
she's
something.
She's trying to do a Princess Leia.
Yeah, there we go.
So, it's not long till Pride.
I know.
It's a week on. Well, I think it's all about
Friday,
to start.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Pride Week starts sort of
Friday.
Pretty soon.
Big day it's, on a week
is
on
it
Saturday.
9 days, 10 days now. It stretches, you know.
Oh, well, I think it's nearly 2 weeks in total.
Yeah.
So we'll ask Freddie when he's in later.
I did see that Bristol's near one of the top 10 LGBT places in the UK now.
Good.
Yeah.
So I like Bristol.
Yeah.
I like Bristol.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I like Glastonbury and I like Froome too. And yeah. Bradley Stoke. Just so we don't leave any listeners out. No, so, hello.
I do like Froome.
Aren't they just suburbs of Bristol anyway?
No, not Froome. No,
that's suburb of Bath.
Or Glastonbury.
Bath. It's suburb of Bath.
Well, I'm sure Glastonbury had more Bristolians in it last weekend than
Bristol was empty.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, wasn't it? Because Wednesday was like the hottest day ever, like 34 degrees. And apparently people were passing out while they were queuing to go in. But then, of course, you had the whole, like, then the temperature dropped and it was...
Perfect.
Pleasant, rather than being, like, stuck in a cooker.
Yes.
Yeah. 2 years now till the next one. Counting down.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Are they only biannual now, are they?
Well, it's a rest year.
Oh, okay. To give the ground a bit of time to recover.
Yeah, it used to be dairy cows, isn't it? So the ground needs a bit of rest after it gets pummeled and destroyed.
So, well, I don't think it rains, so it shouldn't be a mud bath.
No, but it gets compounded, so the soil is...
Personally, I think anyone that went this year is going to be disappointed that they didn't get covered in mud, because isn't that traditional now?
Well,
you know, you get
a
free mud
years.
Pack.
Yeah. I mean, if you really like that, you can always just go out in your garden. It's...
Yeah,
if you got a garden.
The rest of the time, yeah.
That's for those who've got a garden.
Oh. I'm trying to think of somewhere else that there is mud. I mean, I've seen some of the parks here in Bristol turn to mud baths.
Yeah, well,
was it Love Saves the Day that we're on before the last Pride at Castle Park? And it was
absolutely
wreck.
And Pride wasn't sure if Pride would get into there, wasn't there?
No, it was a bit touching. Though. But then Pride's kind of got so much bigger, they needed to move to the amphitheatre anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So. I know, even, you know, but, you know, take something comfy to sit on if you plan to sit down all day.
Yes, it is concrete, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah. So, although it is an amphitheatre, so you can sit on the concrete.
Yeah. Designed for sitting.
Yeah.
That's why it's an amphitheatre.
Yeah. So is it Grillstock this weekend?
Grillstock?
Yeah. In that area.
Oh, don't know.
Festival Grillstock.
For those that like going out and eating meat on the weekend.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I could be wrong, or it might just have happened. I can't remember. It's one way or the other. So. Anyway, we're going to make your events really, really difficult this week, because there's one thing you're not allowed to talk about.
Pride.
You can't talk about Pride, because we're going to talk to Freddie about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So I've
and it's Pride season that makes it really difficult. So, so let's have your jingle.
Thank you.
Oh, that wasn't me. Sorry, that jumped then. Computer must be overheating. So, hello, Tara.
Hello.
What are we doing then? Not Pride?
No, I'm being a bit more serious this week, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I've got...
It's not like you.
Well, I thought the Self-Injury Self-Help Group have got a well-being workshop on Saturday.
Oh, right.
So, that's for people with self-harm and so forth. So, it's concession and it's at Bristol Mind and you can book in advance. So, their introduction to CBT...
Okay. Cognitive behaviour therapy.
Yeah, so it gives you a, you know, so if you're struggling or anything, it's a thing to go and do.
On
so
the self-harm there, is it those who have or those who think they might?
I would imagine both.
Well, self-harm's more than just cutting. Self-harm covers so many different spectrums of things. Yeah. You know, people self-harm in different ways and it's when it gets out of control. You know.
So I presume it's confidential.
It is. So you contact Bristol Mind on 0117 980037 and you can book in advance, and it is from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. and it's an introduction to CBT by D. So I think, you know, I know we're all happy and go lucky. I just thought it was a different way to think about, because not everyone's always happy.
No, I have my dang times and I remember what was taught to me when I went for a CBT.
So it's about emotional well-being workshops. It's one of the workshops they've got this month. They've got them throughout the year. I thought it was just something slightly different to bring into the space today.
Cool.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know they did that. So I think we've had them on the show before.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, so that's one. So then on Saturday night, don't tell your mother's back.
Oh, very popular night.
So yeah, so
don't tell your mother.
Absolutely. I can't.
Is it the Old Market Assembly again?
No, they're Phoenix Pub. So they alternate between the two. So it's Phoenix Pub on Saturday night from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. So and then that's I think it's just turn up and pay on the door as usual.
Yeah, very popular night though. So get along in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely fascinating. It's more than just music. Just the whole thing.
Brilliant. It's a really nice pub, and if it's a nice summer's evening, the garden's lovely.
Yeah, and they've extended it, haven't they? Because they bought the spare land behind. So
probably?
Yeah, they've now got an entrance on the main road that you can go through.
So you could go shopping in Cabot Circus, and then you could walk across into the Phoenix.
Yeah,
I did try and go in for food, but then I found it was a bit 2 minutes too late last time I went.
Oh, right.
It was just because I didn't want to do all the regular stuff, you know. That's my weekend planned for me on the Saturday anyway. And then the other one was, and I'm just going to find it now, it was Prism, which is the LGBT drinking and alcohol awareness thing, part of BDP.
So they were in the shout-out finals.
Well, they've got the first birthday party on Monday.
Wow, has it really been a year?
Yeah, exactly. Gosh. And I just thought it was really nice just to mention, you know, they've been around a year now. So they've got their coffee and cake on Monday, the 3rd of July, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Midland Road in Bristol. And that's come along. So that's for people that...
Gosh.
Yeah.
We spoke to... It was just before or just after they were starting. I can't believe that was a year ago.
Yeah, I just thought it was really great to just bring it in, because actually they seem to be doing really well. And I think it's really important, you know, because actually, you know, people...
People do need help.
People do need help, and alcohol and drugs sometimes can get a bit on top of you, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, for those who don't think that these help things work, Andy, remember my first time on Shout Out? I was here talking about anxiety and depression.
Yes. That was more than a year ago, I think. Now you've been with us quite a few years now, haven't you?
Is it five?
Gosh.
I think I'm about a year now in. I'm a beginner, so there you go.
Yes. So for those that don't know, Shout Out celebrated its 7th birthday this month.
That's not a bad going.
I know, it's mad, really, isn't it? 7 years.
So that's at Midland Road. It's free to turn up, and it's not just for people. If you want to even know about it, you can turn up and have a coffee and cake and just chat.
Yes, and say happy birthday to
them. And see happy birthday to them, yeah.
So, but yes, to everyone at Prism, from all of us here at Shout Out, very happy birthday to you.
Yeah, thank you. And that was me, to be honest.
Cool.
Okay.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Well, there might just be a reason why I'm playing that one. So that's Belinda Carlisle and Heaven is a Place on Earth. Freddie, why would I be playing that one?
Oh, gosh. Hi. Obviously, on Friday the 7th, the night before Pride, we're having a very special fundraising concert with Belinda Carlisle headlining.
Which is amazing.
She is just a complete legend and so supportive of the LGBT plus community. Her son's gay, and she's been campaigning She's been campaigning for us for years, decades.
Wow. Gosh.
And she's supported by Katrina, who's also a legend, and Avex Sans, who are a lovely electropop duo.
Cool. Welcome, shout out, Freddie. It's really, throw you with the deep end.
No worries. I was expecting to say hello first.
Yes, no hello, just straight in, Andy.
You're having a bit of a media night tonight, aren't you? Because you come from Ujima and Darren's on TV.
I've run across the city to be here. I'm very happy to be here.
So now, you are obviously one of the organisers of Bristol Pride, and it kicked off tonight. It's
kicking off right this second. Our very first event for what we call Pride Week, but it's actually Pride 10 Days, is happening right now. It's a talk on gender equality in the workplace. So I'm sad not to be there, but yeah, it's all go from here. Every day this coming week, we've got an event happening.
So this is where your life just goes chaotic for a bit.
It's been chaotic for months, but yes, this is how we get to see the fruits of our labour.
So now we got to talk to you about one of the ones I love as well, because sadly my little dog's a bit too old to come along these days. She gets a bit too nervous. But I remember the first ever year bringing my little teaser along to an idea that you'd had that's now kind of exploded.
That's our dog show on Saturday, yes. Mm. But
the first ever one was quite small, wasn't it?
It was quite small. It's just going to be huge, much bigger this year. I mean, we don't want it to get too busy too. Like you say with your dog, we want the dogs to enjoy it as much as the people. That's something that's really important. But it's just such a fun event for everyone, for all the dogs, for all the families, all the people who come along. That's Saturday at midday in Castle Park.
Are there restrictions on what type of dog can enter?
As with everything with Pride, all dogs are welcome.
So, I can use a stuffed toy one?
I mean, she might have trouble doing a trick.
To be alive. I think that might be one slight entry criteria. But last year, you had cats by photo.
We have cats. We have photos of non-dog pets, just to be inclusive, because Pride about inclusivity.
Which is great. So now, we should point out, though, because it was one of the ones last year, a lot of people either went to the wrong place or turned up later. It's midday.
So it's registration from midday, 12:30, and the show will be starting at 1:00.
Right.
And Castle Park.
Castle Park, which is where Pride was a few years ago, if you're listening. So don't head to the main arena, because that's the following week. It's Castle Park.
Yes, Pride, a lot of Pride will be at Castle Park, I gather, 11:00.
So yes, on Pride Day we'll be gathering at Castle Park. Very, very good connection there. So the parade on Pride morning on Saturday the 8th starts in Castle Park and goes to the amphitheatre where Pride is happening.
Cool. I think you just said, but I missed it. What time is that starting? What time people
the parade
are supposed to...
leaves at 11, so gather from 10:30 on right. Pride morning.
Cool. Because where you were, because we've done them from there and we've done them from Queen's Square. And for years, if you went on Google Earth and looked down on the park, you could see the giant Pride flag across both areas.
I think that's been changed now, which is a bit sad.
It's a real shame. It was really good, wasn't it? Other ones that always stand out that people love is the comedy show is on next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
If you're a shout out regular, you can race along to it afterwards.
Yep, that's on at the Beer Keller. And we've got a great selection of comedians, but Bethany Black, who's trans, she's headlining that, and she is very funny. You'd have seen her on TV in sort of Cucumber and Banana.
She's been interviewed for Shout Out as well.
Yes. You can see her right here.
In fact, I think she did one of the first ever comedy nights, if I recall.
If I recall, maybe, God, that would have been seven years ago, maybe.
Yes. Yes, it was ages ago. I'm sure it was. I could be wrong. Anyway, it doesn't matter. She's absolutely brilliant. So where we're saying, is there still tickets available for
there
that?
There are still tickets.
They do sell out, those ones.
One does sell out. I mean, there's often standing room on the night if you show up. So don't be discouraged if you don't seem to be able to get tickets. If you go on our website, the best place to get tickets for that is through our website, because it's through a company called Tix.
Right.
So go through our website or the Facebook page for the comedy night to get tickets. There's links there.
Cool. Now, we'll come to the main day in a second, but this is the first year you've put an extra one on, isn't it? Which is on the Friday.
Yes. So as I mentioned when you got me off running. So that's on Friday the 7th. That opens at 5 p.m. It's in the amphitheatre where Pride will be. Mm. So we'll be using the stage we use for Pride. And that's just a big concert. It's all about the music. It's all about raising funds so we can keep Pride the open event it is, the donation entry event it is, so anyone can still come to Pride without having to pay, because that's what we don't want. It's a Pride Day to become this big charged event.
Yes.
It's about the community. So this fundraiser on the 7th, Belinda, Katrina of the Waves, going to be amazing. Just come along, raise some money for Pride, and have a really great evening the night before Pride. Make a weekend of it.
So now we should put, that is a ticketed event, isn't it? You do need to get tickets that
one,
beforehand.
That one is a ticketed event. You can buy them from the Bristol Ticket Shop or from us in our Pride Hub, which it'll be, at the moment it's on Old Market. Next week it'll be on just off College Green City Hall.
Right.
It is ticketed. Like I said, it's a music concert. It's for raising money for Pride. That's all to raise money for Pride, which we need, because Pride isn't...
It's not cheap Pride, is
no,
it?
No.
No. Is it looking like that's going to sell out, or could you chance it and come on the evening and buy tickets on the
definitely
door?
Definitely chance... If you haven't bought them in advance, definitely chance it. If you've seen the amphitheatre, you know what a giant space
it's
that
huge,
is.
It's huge, yes.
So, yeah, do come along on the evening if you've not bought tickets. We'll have food there. We'll have the bar open. It'll be open from 5 p.m. all the way through till 9, 10 o'clock. So that's a great way to start your Pride weekend off, I think.
Gosh, yeah. It's going to be great, a whole weekend of it.
I've noticed something this weekend, though, as well.
What's that?
Pride Gaming.
Pride Gaming.
I think this was another one of your
That's
your
another
ideas,
one of my
it?
Ones, yeah. I'm a huge gaming geek. I'm a huge video gamer, and we do that at Kong's. It's a free event. It's on all day. We team up with a lovely local group who do these regularly called Bristol Video Game Social. Just great fun. Come along, play Mario Kart, beat me at Street Fighter.
I was going to ask you, what's your favourite game?
Oh, gosh. At the moment, I'm playing a game called ARMS on the new Switch, which is a boxing game, which is great. That'll be great on the day. So I love all the new stuff. Yeah, that'll be a really great multiplayer one on the day.
Yeah, have you got Pong?
Pong. Oh, gosh, I'm going back of it.
I'm sure we can emulate it for you.
So now, of course, the big day itself kicks off, first of all, with the march, which we've talked about. Is that open to all? Can anyone just come and...
Yes, the parade, it's open to everyone who wants to come along. If you're just in the city, if you turn up on the morning, if you wake up in time, please just come down. If you're not, don't feel like marching, support us, it goes past. But that goes all the way around Broadmead, past Cabot Circus, and through the centre to the amphitheatre. Everyone's welcome. You don't need to pay to be there. You don't need to register. Being big groups, let us know in advance. Sort of, that helps us just know for safety. But just turn up and have fun.
So last year, I think, was the first year we've ever known the front of the march get there before the back had even left.
Yes, I think if you looked at it from above, you would have seen LGBT plus people entirely circling Broadmead. We would have entirely surrounded Broadmead, which is...
It's just absolutely unbelievable.
Just amazing.
And if it keeps growing like this, it could get... Well, I dread to think you might have to make a longer route.
Well, I think because that was the first year we've done that, we've logistics-wise, we've worked a few things out to make it just nice and smooth, so hopefully we won't hold ourselves up too much.
Yeah, and it's not like you hold the traffic up in the centre anyway.
Who would notice?
Well, yeah, it is a bit like that, isn't it? So, now, of course, big day itself, I'm not going to go through all of it. We talked to Darren a few weeks ago about all the artists, but tell us, who are the headliners coming this year?
So we've got the wonderful Busted, who are just going to be just amazing. Wow. For a 90s boy like me, this just a dream act.
So, and they're the very final one.
They're the headliner, yep. So we've got other artists like Dr. Mika supporting them. And
they were there a few years ago.
They were. They're just brilliant. They're local and just brilliant. Yeah.
And are we doing the traditional thing? Are we kicking off with the infamous sing-out?
We might have the infamous sing-out, sing us a few songs. Yes, they'll definitely be there. It's tradition for them to open the festival. So
it really has become a tradition,
well,
isn't it?
Lovely. It's like... What pride would we be if we didn't have the LGBT choir from Bristol there?
So, cool.
The cabaret stage is full as well.
Yes, even Danny Beard's down this
Danny
year,
Beard,
isn't he?
And if you're a Drag Race fan, we've got Charlie Hyde, who is on this season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, amazing.
So she'll be there, and she's great. She's British, and she was on Drag Race, which was just amazing to see.
Cool. If you haven't been, there are two stages, aren't there?
Well, actually, three stages.
Three this year.
Yeah, so we've got the main stage with all the music artists, so like your Sonia's, your Union J, your Busted. Got the cabaret stage with drag queens galore. And then we got the dance stage in Millennium Square, which is lots of big troops with dances and like workshops, a chance for you to get involved in some dancing yourself.
Oh, so, wow.
Three stages.
Oh, amazing. Gosh, how it's grown over the years, isn't
it? I know.
So now, of course, we'll be there all day broadcasting on Shout Out. So wherever you are, don't forget you can tune in and listen. We're going out on several stations. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. But then, of course, the evening event kicks in. Now, this is where we've got a little bit of news we need to get out, isn't it?
Yes. So the evening event at the O2 Academy, once again, it's just a chance to raise some money for us and have a great end to your day. We did have Charlotte Church. She has just announced just the past couple of days that she's had some sad news personally with her miscarriage about, so she won't be there on the day anymore. But all our thoughts are with her at this time because it's just such a sad situation.
Totally understandable.
Yeah, it's just
condolences to her and her.
Of course. We've now got Alison Limerick, who's got some wonderful dance disco tracks. So she's stepping in to do a live PA for us. So the night's still going to be absolutely full of wonderful music, wonderful acts, the best DJs from Bristol, like Don't Tell Your Mother. So it's still going to be a wonderful night. So don't feel like it's going to be any less just because she's not able to perform anymore. It's going to be great.
I'm sure if I know you guys, but we'll try and get Charlotte in a future year to come.
Oh, I should definitely think so. Definitely.
So it's a real shame because she's such a performer, isn't she? But you can totally understand the reasons why.
Oh, completely, yes.
So.
Yeah, well, your after party, you've actually got three rooms of acts.
Oh, we've got so many. Once again, it's a thing, if we try to talk through every single thing, we would just run out of time. But the best thing I can say is the local DJs are just incredible. Just go walk around the venue and just you'll see some amazing things you've never seen before.
Yeah, we had Tom Marshman on the other week talking about some of the things he's doing and all the guides there that and all those different, such a variety. We've talked to Jane about the film festival that's going on, so it's mad. We are rapidly running out of time. I want to ask so many more questions, but now there's brochures out everywhere. Bristol, isn't there? I believe there's even an electronic version on your
online
website, and I presume all the events and everything that's going on there as well. But for those that are listening, first of all, let's do a quick what are the different types of pre-tickets you can get, because you've got the day bands and
so the tickets we've got day tickets. They're £5. They get you free bus travel on the day, they get you discounts on our bar, and they help make Pride happen. We've got the day and night, which are £15. They get you all the benefits of the day, and they also get you into three after parties, which is R1 at the O2, the Queen Shilling, and Hush's Night at Basement 45. Those are the two available. Out of super supporters, that area's already gone. So those are the two. And then obviously buy tickets for Belinda Carlisle, which are separate and are currently at £20.
Cool. And that's separate. The Belinda Carlisle thing's a Friday night.
That's a Friday.
But the day and night ones we're talking about is for the main day.
That's
on
for the day,
Saturday.
Yep.
So if you don't want to do that, though, it is donation entry.
So if you can't... It's £3 suggested. Pride is open to everyone. If you can't afford it, come, you still get all the benefits of being there. We want everyone to be able to come regardless of your situation, but if you can donate, do donate, because these things aren't free.
So knowing Freddie and Darren and having seen behind the scenes, I mean, because we're obviously there on the day as well, we talk to you throughout the year, you genuinely wouldn't believe the amount of effort that goes into putting on Pride. It is worth it. So if you can afford that fiver, it's well worth getting. If not, donate what you can on the door. So,
exactly.
Freddie, it's been lovely to talk to you. I'm sorry it's so quick.
No worries.
Bristolpride.co.uk is the website that you want if you want all the info. Yep. As we always do, we will link to it from our website
you.
So if you're listening to the show, you can go there and find it all. Thanks so much for coming in.
No worries,
and
thank
you. We must catch up with you on air on the day. You must make sure you come over.
Yeah, I'll try my hardest. I'm running around all day.
So now, stay with us. News headlines is up next, but here is one of the songs that you might hear at the end of Pride that Saturday.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I don't think I'll live till 3,000.
I already have.
So, hello, Ella and Terry.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you Busted fans? Are you looking forward to seeing them at Pride?
I have one of their albums, I must confess.
Oh, do you?
Actually, yeah.
Terry's busted.
I've been busted.
Are you a fan, Ella?
This defined my school discos. I have to be a fan because of all the nostalgia with this song. I can't move past it. I'm just getting flashbacks now of kind of soda and ridiculous outfits.
Cool. Well, with that, let's get some news headlines.
Of course.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 29th of June.
With gay marching season now upon us, as prides take place across the world, MSN News has compiled 77 uplifting and inspiring images from the global pride movement. Check out our website for a link to them and get a huge boost from the pictures of love and acceptance.
Pink News reports that the NHS is to roll out a trial run of the pre-exposure prophylactic HIV drug Truvada. The treatment, known as PrEP, is believed to reduce the risk of HIV transmission by around 90%, and campaigners in sexual health say that treatment with PrEP on an ongoing basis saves hundreds of thousands of pounds per person in the long run. The NHS lost a High Court case last year where it opposed investing in PrEP, leading to accusations that it was trying to save money by jumping on the austerity bandwagon. The £10 million trial run of PrEP will see high-risk groups identified, such as gay men who partake in the chemsex scene and intravenous drug users.
The 50th anniversary of the partial decriminalisation of male homosexuality is nearly upon us, and events will be taking place across the UK to mark the pivotal event. Channel 4 Television is marking the anniversary with 50 Shades of Gay, a season of documentaries. On Saturday, it was the turn of pop music to go under a rainbow-coloured spotlight with the screening of Pride, Pop and Prejudice on More 4. Meanwhile, 4 On Demand has a season called The Pride Collection available to view, taking in a wide sweep of Channel 4's groundbreaking coverage of LGBT issues. Programmes available to view include My Beautiful Laundrette, Tales of the City, and Metrosexuality.
Once again, LGBT rights have been dragged into the debate over Palestine and Israel. The left-leaning Dyke March in Chicago asked Jewish participants to remove flags bearing the Star of David due to Israel's policy towards Palestinians. The Jewish Chronicle newspaper reports this week that to add to the argument, a Jewish group called the Jewish Voice for Peace has come out in support of the Dyke March organizers' policy, saying Israel has appropriated Jewish identity and symbols.
South London community station Radio Jackie reports that a new statement from HIV charity, the Terence Higgins Trust in the capital, reveals that 1 in 7 people living with the virus are unaware that they have it. The charity urges better testing initiatives and expresses support for home testing kits. Meanwhile, a new occupant has been found for THT's old building on West Street in the heart of Bristol's gay village. Off the Record, a well-being and counselling charity are preparing to take up residence there.
And finally, do you remember a few weeks ago we reported on the risk of Hep A being transmitted through infected water and ice? Well, according to the media website Digital Spy, the BBC's Watchdog programme found this week alarming levels of faecal bacteria in ice served by major coffee chains such as Starbucks, Costa and Nero. The level of contamination of faecal bacteria concerns me a great deal, said Tony Lewis, head of policy and education at the Chartered Institute of Environmental Health. Well, the good news is that all three high street coffee house chains have taken steps to improve the hygiene of their ice since the programme was broadcast last night.
For Shout Out News, this has been Ella Watts
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out,
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Do you know something, Freddie missed off?
You what, sorry?
I wonder if they've got new cup designs this year.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry, we were talking to Freddie about cups at Pride, and they're doing the £1 cups. You remember you can get
you get the
plastic cups refills. At Pride. You can get refills, they're £1 each.
Yeah, but each year they've been a different design, you know. I won't get the full collection for as long as I live.
Yeah, they have become a bit of a collector's thing, haven't they? I think we've got a cupboard full of them as well. So. Anyway, we've got very full studio again here.
Yeah,
so yes. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Tara's back in. Mary's in the background. Hello, Mary.
I'm in the background, yes. Hello.
So, now, this I would say it's a new feature. It's not really. This is about the third,
this
I think.
This is the third time we've done a news review.
Yes, our News Extra, where we pick a story that you've been chatting about, and Terry does some research for us, and we go a bit more in depth. And we're talking about... The recent general election today, aren't we?
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to discuss it and dissect it from an LGBT point of view, really. So I thought it would be interesting to come up with a few facts and a few questions that we can discuss. Now, did you know that this is the gayest parliament that's ever been elected? Tara's nodding in approval, yes. Of course. 45 members of the current parliament are LGBTQ. The party with the biggest queer representation is the Scottish National Party, who have 7 out of their MPs are LGBTQ. Wow. There's 19 in Labour, 19 in the Conservative Party, none in the other parties, but we must note the Liberal Democrats have supported gay and transgender rights since the days of the old Liberal Party, back in the 1950s. The Green Party has 1 MP, who is Caroline Lucas, and Plaid Cymru, that's the Welsh Nationalist Party, have 4 MPs, and both of those parties have had gay rights policies since the 1980s. Plaid Cymru are also led by a woman, Leanne Wood. Now, the Cornish Party, maybe on care now, supports gay rights, as does the Wessex Regional Party. The Communist Party of Britain, which is the largest party to bear the communist title, there are 5 other factions. The Socialist Party, the Socialist Workers' Party, and Respect all stood aside in favour of Labour at this election and all have gay rights platforms. Mm. Now, a record 200 women MPs have been returned to Parliament. But the pace of change is very slow on this front. The Fawcett Society, which has been campaigning for women's equality since 1866, described it as a snail's pace of change. And they calculate that it won't be until the general election of 2062 that the number of female MPs will equal the number of males. I'm going to cough, excuse me.
Do you reckon we'll have a gay prime minister or a lesbian prime minister by then? That'll be...
Well, I'm sure in our past we actually have had
haven't
of course,
the Republic of Ireland have...
The Taoiseach is a gay
man.
Is
that how you pronounce it?
It's the Taoiseach, yeah. T-shirt. Irish. Irish
for, T-shirt, that's how you can remember that.
That's right. Is also of Irish Irish Indian extraction. Yeah.
Oh, right.
So he's also dual heritage.
I thought that was great. Sorry, Terry.
Sorry,
I'm down when you do that.
I'm recovering from a cold,
the
everyone.
The facts are flooding out here. As well as they are cough.
But what was the general feeling amongst you lot of the recent election? Do you think it's a step back in equality? Because
of the deal with the Democratic Unionist Party.
That's been the biggest story that's kind of hit the LGBT plus community is... Because when you read up on all the people in the DUP, it doesn't make for very good reading, I have to admit.
I'm kind of hoping the LGBT, whoever's in the LGBT and the other parties, kind of stick up, you know, when there's that negativity comes through from the DUP. Mm. You know, it's been really interesting today about the whole idea about Northern Ireland women being able to come to England now to actually get an abortion and it's paid for.
Yes.
So I think that shows that, to me, there's a kind of commitment there inside... In that, I think that'll reflect in LGBT as well, hopefully.
I think I'd be more worried, actually, for LGBT people in Northern Ireland, because I think it's going to be quite difficult to put pressure on the Northern Irish government to put in things like gay marriage or equal marriage. Mm. You know, why would our government be putting on pressure for that when they're dependent on the DUP to prop up our government? So, I mean, personally, I don't feel like it's going to have a lot of effect on us in England, but for people in Northern Ireland, I actually think it's quite worrying. And I think there's been talk of the that sort of coalition or that sort of deal actually breaking the Good Friday Agreement, and I think that's more worrying, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
But do we know, has it actually broken the Good Friday Agreement? Or?
Depends on your interpretation, doesn't it, of what the Good Friday Agreement says. It says that the Westminster government must be equal and equitable in its dealings with the different parties in Northern Ireland. But obviously, you know, so if you're sitting in Sinn Féin, obviously Sinn Féin is an Irish Republican party, very much opposed to what the Democratic Unionist Party stand for. They're obviously feeling very left out in the cold now that the DUP is propping up a Conservative government at Westminster.
And of course they don't take the seats, do they?
So that's right.
But how can that be considered neutral, you know, if the DUP are propping up the Tory government? How can the Tory government be neutral on Northern Irish matters? I don't really see how that's possible.
I was quite surprised it could happen, to be honest. The last party I expected to hear entering into anything to do with the general election was the DUP.
Well, I mean, the past... Because the DUP is... although it's Ian Paisley's old party and replaced the Ulster Unionist Party, which was a little bit more moderate during the course of the 80s and 90s, the DUP... has certain values in common with the Westminster Conservative Party. So really, from the Tories' point of view, I think they probably couldn't have gone into coalition with anybody else. The Liberal Democrats won't work with them anymore. Labour certainly won't work with them. And the Scottish Nationalists and Plaid Cymru are well known for their distaste for the Conservative Party. So really, from Theresa May's point of view, probably the only people she could have turned to prop up her government were the Democratic Unionist Party.
Yeah, no, so, I did notice that we're not the only country that has this kind of split, are we? Because Germany is very similar. They have a dual party running the country over there.
Well,
and I don't know if you saw the breaking news today, but Angela Merkel has actually announced a vote.
They're going to vote on marriage equality, aren't they? Yes. Tomorrow, I think.
I believe it was under pressure because all the other parties said, unless this is in your manifesto, we won't support.
Yeah, I mean, Angela Merkel is a Christian Democrat.
Mm. Which, and they're traditionally very, well, not homophobic, they're not very...
Yeah, they're like the Liberal Democrats over here with a few more sort of Christian ties to them. But they're not a religious party in a sort of sectarian sense, but they are a little bit conservative on issues such as same-sex marriage. But all the other parties that she relies on to get legislation through Parliament, like the Free Democrats, who are like a sort of libertarian right-wing party, and the Greens, and so on and so forth, they've all said we want to vote on same-sex marriage, and that's going to take place tomorrow.
Well, fingers crossed. So Ella, I'm gonna turn them down sorry Terry,
I feel like this is special treatment. Yeah. I'm not sure if I want to turn on Terry in this way.
I'm in the middle.
Ella, I'm going to turn to you because you are one of the younger members of Shout Out, and certainly the youngest in this studio.
I am of the youth.
You are of the youth. What was your take on the election? What were you looking at? What kind of things, as someone who's part of the LGBT plus community, what was your focus on it?
Okay, so I guess I was of two minds. First of all, it was really nice waking up and finding out that, you know, the Conservatives didn't get a blasting majority, that Labour did as well as they did. It was the first time since I've been able to vote that I felt like my voice was represented in British politics, which was really nice.
I think she was quite surprised. I got the impression that Theresa May thought it was going to be a landslide.
She said
really
if she lost six seats, then she'd resign, and she lost far more than six seats. And she said that 12 hours before the results were announced on live video.
She didn't resign,
but everyone was sharing. Yeah,
she lost 13 seats, by the way.
Yeah. So it was an interesting one because I think the young people I knew, at least, I think one of the interesting things is a lot of people interpret under 25s as being interested in personality politics. But if anything, that's been my experience more of older generations. The young people I knew were exchanging excerpts from manifestos. They were talking about intersexuality. So someone would share an article, and then they'd be like, all right, well, this is how this was covered in this publication, and this is how it was covered in this publication.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right, because that's quite interesting, because of course social media was a huge thing in the news, and does it influence people? And they're like, so your generation, you're saying, because I know I didn't, although I tend not to believe most of the stuff I read on Facebook anyway, but your generation was actually checking out the facts.
Yeah, because I think for people who've grown up with the internet, there has to be a certain level of critical thinking, especially with fake news and stuff. I think young people tend to get labelled as these sheep that buy anything, but if anything, because we grew up on the internet, we know that you can make an article look real and it isn't. And so I would share an article about news, and I would get five different comments with people from different publications talking about different stances and where the evidence was coming from and where was the hard evidence. And there was some real detailed discussion, because a lot of young people who were interested in the Lib Dems, a lot of young people who are interested in the Greens, talking about tactical voting. So on the one hand, great. On the other hand, the thing with the DUP, I can't help but feel... This is my polite radio voice.
Please do not swear.
Yeah, I know.
I know it's a DUP, but please don't swear.
I feel like it's really powerfully reflective of something we increasingly see in the left and in people interested in social activism, in minority groups, which is where you have majorities taking a policy of silence. And silence, so often people assume, is, oh, well, the fight is already won. Oh, well, at least they're not saying anything bad. And yet, for example, Theresa May's decision to have an alliance with the DUP, really quite a homophobic history, reflects to me that often what silence means is not tolerance. it's a decision that they can't be bothered to fight this battle now, but they may fight it in future. If anything, it's waiting, not tolerance. And I feel like the left kind of needs to remember that, because sometimes I've had two conversations in recent days with people who've said to me, oh, but you know, LGBT rights are over, they're done, like we don't need that.
Oh, if only.
And well, and I feel like, you know, but we just signed a deal with the DUP, come on. They literally at one point advocated for creationism in schools, and all respect to all faiths, but we understand that, you know, that's maybe not something that we should make compulsory in our national curriculum, because we are not in fact a theocratic state. Just putting it out there. Sorry.
I mean, it's interesting you say that you had open debates with your friends, and I presume this was on social media, was it? Because I was having a long chat with Carl, my other half, about it, and there was a point when we were finding some of our friends were sanitising their friends list because they didn't agree with their opinions. But then there was this whole kind of, well, if you do that, you never hear the other side. And everyone should kind of be entitled to what they think. So, but you're saying your generation quite openly talked about it, even if you didn't necessarily agree.
I know a Tory. I mean, some of my friends are Tories. I like that.
There are many LGBT Tories.
Yeah,
and we should know.
Yeah, and I've discussed this with them, but also discussed it more widely. I think it was also interesting to see a step up from Brexit. A lot of young people I knew had been involved to some extent in discussing politics around Brexit. But this time there was a real feeling of urgency, feeling like it needed to be pushed. So I had a lot of friends for several different political parties talking about how they were on the phones. They were going from door to door. They were doing a full-time job and then they were going from door to door because they felt so strongly about what they'd been reading and learning and discussing that they really wanted to make sure that their voices were heard. So this was an election about politicians talking to celebrities, but it wasn't just that. And I think that we should be cautious of labelling it as that.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting, Ella, that you're saying that young people are checking their facts more, because I did see very much more stuff from older people who are perhaps more likely to just read what they... would just believe what they read in the newspaper and share it, and it then turn out to be a fake news story.
I think also it's very interesting that the Daily Mail, the Daily Express, the Sun, you know, those sorts of papers, very, very personal attacks on Jeremy Corbyn. You know, he only really had the support of the smaller left-wing papers and The Guardian, really.
Although, to be honest, The Guardian went very much the other way. I mean, they were very much...
Oh, yeah, well, they're a sort of classical liberal paper. But even despite all that, because of the power of the internet and new media and so on, the newspaper's ability to influence a general election from the old Thatcher days, for example, is quite diminished.
But I think personally what I saw with that was then they went even more extreme with it. Well, in the papers. What I find really interesting, though, is, I mean, we end up under rules where on the radio and on TV we're not allowed to be anything other than impartial.
That's
yet
right.
A newspaper that's still a main media outlet can be as partial and as biased as they like. I've never quite understood why that's okay.
It's because of the different origin of those sorts of media. The press in the 19th century was controlled by big newspaper barons. There were small independent papers, but often they were banned and had to be produced sort of underground. And then the press has always been part of the establishment and always been able to say what it wanted to. When the BBC was created, you know, in the early days of radio, it was very much it had to be impartial, although in practice the BBC's always culturally been quite close to the establishment, but that's kind of where it comes from.
Well, it's been called into question many times over the decades, hasn't it?
But yes, you're right, us broadcasters have to be very strict on what we say during a general election campaign.
Yeah, and with that, Terry, so this is where I've got to butt in and say, please remember, all opinions expressed during this debate are personal opinions and not necessarily the one of the radio stations.
Well, yes, very true.
I was actually going to say as well, one of the things I found really interesting was that however tempting it is to be swayed by a particular feeling or personality of a political party, what I was seeing in the run-up to the election was things like people thinking about friends with any kind of like disabilities, like learning difficulties and stuff. So people turning manifestos into PowerPoint presentations, subtitling videos, making sure that information could be passed on, saying, okay, this is where I got this from, this manifesto. If you want to see summaries of these manifestos, you can see them here. If you want to see voting histories, you can see them here. If you're part of this group, this is where you can see how which party deals with you, which I found really brilliant and fascinating. but also is so often sadly left out of the mainstream tabloid narrative.
Although I do think the parties themselves do actually make the things like their manifesto available in many different forms. So people,
yeah, so with the internet as well, it's easier to get stuff like BSL videos and so on and so forth, which is going to be great for democracy.
Mm.
Yeah,
interesting. Sorry, Mary, were you going
to
say something?
I think Mary wanted to make a closing point.
The points may be gone, but you know, thinking about the BBC, if you think that the licence fee is actually set by the current government,
Yes. You
can understand why, you know, certain things might be said or influenced.
It must be quite difficult to be very unbiased when.
Well, I think we manage it because community stations are subject to the same laws as the BBC,
yes.
And we were very good. I know myself and Natalie sort of said, oh, there's an election on, that's it.
Yes. Yeah. We were really proud of our team as they went through the night. So, anyway, that's it for this week. Don't forget, we will be broadcasting live from Bristol Pride. We'll give you all the info you need to listen on the day next week.
In the meantime, though, head over to our website for more information at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
As always, we'll be back in 7 days, but from myself and the huge team that is here, say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.